Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on depression when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, our public institutions. We've now made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a very radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. Now, there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty. Now, you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD. AIDS, herpes, and VD just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that same general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about depression. The Great Depression of the 1930s was an earth-shattering event, not just here in the United States, but it affected the whole world. We've got another Great Depression coming. It's the Great Depression of the 21st century. I don't know if we're going to call it the Depression of 2008 or 2009. We call it the Great Depression of 1929. Started, you know, in October of 1929. Actually, nobody felt its real effects until about 1931. We didn't get over it until September of 1937. Then we muddled along, kind of on a plateau, they call it, until 1941. When World War II broke out, the Depression ended. From 29 to 41 is a long, long time. And I suspect, and of course all of the pundits are telling us, that when this next one comes, it'll be for a long, long time. And it's going to be deep and severe. So, I mentioned that to you that last time on subsistence and survival. Now, we teach schools here. We have two schools that deal with agriculture and subsistence and survival. And I mentioned to you last time, you know, I wouldn't have known there was a problem if I hadn't looked it up in Bible prophecy. And I don't see anybody else out there that looks into the Bible to see, well, what did God say he was going to do to us now if we didn't shape up? And so I gave you that report last time. Now, I can't think of a better business to be in than food and a famine. So I'm betting on famine. I'm a betting man. I'm betting on famine. Again, not because I can foresee it of and by myself. I can't make it happen. I can't prevent it from happening. I can't do diddly jack squat about it one way or the other. But I take a look at Bible prophecy, and then I just take a look at the newsletters that I receive, and I say, hey, listen, let's wake up and smell the coffee. And here's what's coming down the pike. We've exported our food industries to other countries. Tomatoes in America. Hell, we don't grow tomatoes here. I don't say we don't grow any tomatoes here, but the bulk of our tomatoes come from Mexico. Boys and girls, when those Mexicans shut it off, you ain't getting any tomatoes. I know a lot of you people are sitting there saying, hell, I'll grow my own tomatoes. Oh, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know that that's true. And, you know, you might think you're going to, but then that's another story for another day, isn't it? Now, if you're prepared for it, you know, I remember old Peter, you know, he said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And Jesus told him, he said, hell, Pete, before tomorrow morning, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Old Peter, he didn't believe he knew that, but he did. And so, you know, after the Eagleton affair with McGovern back in 1972, you know, I've always been a little cautious about making these predictions. You know, like McGovern said, I stand behind Eagleton 1,000%. Well, I was till about 3 or 4 days later, and then he dumped him. So, again, you know, before we open our mouths and get to bragging too much about what we're going to do over here, we ought to pay attention to what old dad says he's going to do first, and then, you know, maybe we can respond, maybe we can't. Let me start off by giving you a couple little stories here. This is pretty funny. And the food prices soar in America. Higher food prices led by milk are hitting consumers where it hurts, in the stomach. New York. In the CNN money line, John Norris's family is drinking a lot less milk these days. He said he considers the higher prices and has cut back on the kids' milk consumption. But between work and family obligations, he still drives almost as much as he used to. Quote, that's the reason I cut down on milk consumption, so I can drive my car, said Norris. God love him. I mean, if we have to choose between gasoline and milk for the kids, by God, you kids drink water so we can buy gas. Hell, this gas, you know, it's $3 a gallon now. It's on its way to six. Six. Can you grab that one, Bob? You're going to have $6 a gallon gasoline here shortly. I say shortly, you know, the next year or two. See, we Americans, we haven't caught up with you Dutchmen yet. You've been paying $6 a gallon over there in Holland, you know, for years. $5, nearly $6, you know, in Great Britain. Probably over $6 by now. I haven't seen these numbers for a while, but, you know, now we've got, you know, oil at $100 a barrel. It's on its way to $150. And when oil hits $150 a barrel, then it's on its way to $200. It isn't that the oil is getting to be more valuable, it's that the dollar is getting to be less valuable because we're printing so many of them. And so as time progresses along, you can rest assured that when the price of gasoline doubles to $6 a gallon, your wages are not going to double from $5 to $10 or $10 to $20. Your wages are going to go up 3% while the price of gas goes up about 30 or 40. Now, that's the way it's been. Now, over in England, I just got this out of the International Forecaster on Wednesday. Here's what's going on in England. Food prices are accelerating at their fastest rates since records began, fueling a rise in the average family shopping bill of $1,500 a year. Did you get that, you Englishmen? Your food bill's going up $1,500 this year. That's what happened to you last year. So inflation is continuing onward and upward. $1,500 in 1 year. Wholesale food prices rose 7% year over year, more than three times the official rate of inflation. Now throw in energy and you have 10% inflation, you Englishmen. 10%, 10%. Of course, if you don't eat and you don't have buy gasoline, it doesn't affect you, does it? Now, these are the highest numbers since 1992, since records began. Retirees and the poor are being slammed as they are in the United States supermarkets. Tesco, Asda, and Sainsbury increased their average price for a basket of goods by 12% last year. Produce prices are rising at the fastest rate in 16 years. December Consumer Price Index rose 2.1% year over year for the third straight month. So I just wanted to point out that inflation isn't just in the United States, it's worldwide. In fact, in the back end here of the International Forecaster, they report from countries around the world. It won't bore you, you know, with details. I just wanted to let you know that the price of food going up 12%. Hell, that's hyperinflation rates, kids. And it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. So I took a look at that and said, well, gee, how can we make money on that? I'm a farmer. God, I'm happy as a clam at high tide. First of all, I'm not a commercial farmer, I'm a private farmer. I only sell to private parties. You know, I don't sell to the general public. I sell by contract. If you don't have a contract with me, I don't do business with you. Now, there's a reason for doing that, and I developed a program here patterned after the Whatley program, but I added the 15 agricultural laws of the Bible and the economic laws of the Bible, of which there's 16 of those. If you take the economic laws, you know, like tithing, and you take the agricultural laws, like land Sabbaths and Jubilees, and you put those together, there's an agricultural policy here laid out by the creator of the universe to create the most profitable enterprise ever created by the mind of God. I mean, this thing really makes money. It, first of all, makes lots of property. And property has never been assessed or taxed here in the United States. I don't know if you're aware of that. I can't speak for you Englishmen over there. I'm not that familiar with your laws. But here in this country, we don't tax property. Never have. We tax income. We tax excises. We tax privileges. We tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms except property. Property isn't taxed. Now somebody's going to write me a letter and say, well, what about my house? You know, I pay my property tax. Partner, that's not a tax on your property. It's a tax on the value of your property. It's called an ad valorem tax. Ad valorem. You call it a property tax. That's the generic term for it. Because it's a tax on your house. But it's not a tax on your house. It's a tax on the value of your house. Valued in, guess what? Federal Reserve note commercial paper. Unjust weights and balances that you were told not to deal in, remember, children? All right, now with that out of the way, we have a class coming up here. And there, like I said, there's no better business than food and famine. And if your bill is going up $1,500 this year, here in America, we're, the average Joe Sixpack pays $7,500 a year for food living out of the grocery store. $7,500. Now, of course, if you make more money, you probably spend a little more. I read you a letter here the other day from a lady. She's spending $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. She probably makes a little more money. And, of course, a lot of the food that we buy here is non-essential. You know, like Starbucks coffee. You know, I went in the other day and I filled up my pickup. And so I went in to pay. Well, naturally, when you go in to pay, you got to have a little something, you know, from the get-and-go. So I went back to the back. And my favorite Starbucks coffee. God, I love that Starbucks. And so I reach in, I grab my Starbucks, and I come up. I don't know how much is in this little bottle. 6-8 ounces, something like that. It's about like an old Coke, you know. Maybe it's got 8 ounces in it. I don't know. It's not very much. Anyway, $3.42. $3.42 for a crummy cup of coffee. You know, and it's not even hot. It's cold. So here I am drinking my Starbucks. It cost me $3. Hell, the gasoline's only $3. I paid more for my coffee than I did for a gallon of gas. Now, of course, you know, we Americans, we got nothing but money. We're the richest nation in the world. That's what we keep kidding ourselves and telling ourselves. Actually, we're flat-ass broke, can't pay our bills, and we're not going to. That's the other half of it. Now, that being said, then what are we going to do when this Great Depression envelops all of us? You know, it's coming on me, it's coming on you. All of us are in the same boat. So some years back, I looked at this problem and I said, hell, we got to come up with a solution to this. You know, something that's pretty practical. Because people start cutting back. Like this guy here, he's cutting back on his kid's milk. God love him. That's what you ought to do, Bob. You know, when times get tough, cut back on your kid's milk. For God's sake, don't cut back on your gasoline or your cigarettes or your Budweiser or your Bud Dumber or whatever you call it. Now, we got to have cigarettes, beer, and gasoline. Those are the three essentials of the American lifestyle. Cigarettes, beer, and gasoline. And the children's milk be damned. Although he's probably doing the right thing. You know, that milk you're buying out of the grocery store is pasteurized, and that kills the enzyme, makes that milk a poison, gives your kid atherosclerosis, and so he's probably doing his kid a favor. But nevertheless, the moral of the story is, you know, let's cut back on food. Now, the more food you cut back on, the sicker you're going to get. Because, see, the food that you're getting isn't worth buying to start with. And then when you cut back on it, then you start eating more carbohydrates and less proteins. And then you cut back on the fruits and vegetables, and you eat more canned trash than you do, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. And then you get the cooked food disease called cancer. And all of our diseases come from what we put in our mouth. It's either poison or it's nutritionally deficient. So there's a big movement here in America. I can't speak for the rest of the world, but here in America, about 12% of Americans want organically grown food, and they're willing to pay the price to get it. Now, organic food costs about twice as much as conventional food, and the place that we buy our organic food is in the health food stores, you know, places like Wild Oats. Now, in their defense, they have to charge more because it costs more. The other day, a guy wanted to buy milk from me, and I told him it's $10 a gallon. He choked. I mean, he just got real sick, real pale. He didn't buy any, but he... Now, first of all, I'm not in the milk business, and I don't want to sell you milk to start with, but it costs me $6 a gallon to produce my organic milk. See, my cows do not have any BST or bypass protein in their diet. So, number one, they don't produce as much milk. Secondly, it's wintertime, and I have to buy hay. So I got to go out and pay $130, $40, $50 a ton for hay. My cows eat 35 pounds a day. And then they don't give as much milk, you know, in the wintertime. And so it cost me about $6 to produce it. And I figured, well, I got to go out there and milk the cow. And then I got to come in and strain it and put it in a jug for him, you know. And I said, I wanted $10. And now you can buy milk. Milk here in this region is $4.38 a gallon. And that's for the BST Blue John Holstein milk that's homogenized and pasteurized and fed with bypass protein, and cows are guaranteed to have mad cow disease or double your money back. And that costs you $4 and pushing $4.50 a gallon. So if I come along and tell you I want double that, you know, I want $9 a gallon or $10, you know, I don't think that's too far out of line. But, you know, milk sells, by the way, organic raw milk in America sells for anywhere from $5 to $16 a gallon, depending on where you're at. So $10 is kind of right in the middle. It's just that, you know, when you're out of the big city, you've been drinking this Blue John trash all these years. When you actually have to go out here and buy organic, you know, you get shocked. Now, what would you say if I said, well, I think you can buy this organic and you can probably pay about the same price that you're paying in the grocery store and get organic, which is a better product. And you can do that through this 100,000 on 25 acres because the farmer that's growing it has a guaranteed market. And what we've done here is to guarantee a private market of 100 customers. We only deal by contract with people, and we only grow what those people want to grow. And then we have a guaranteed built-in profit margin. All right. Now, you can't grow just exactly what people want. You're always going to have a surplus. And that surplus you pass on to your customers at discount prices. So they're getting the same organic produce for less money. And when it nets out in the final analysis, when you join a co-op, when you get into the whole food business, when you start dealing in organics, pretty soon, as you take advantage of the summertime surplus, and in summertime you're going to have more cucumbers and squash and cabbage and more than you can handle. So then what you do, you buy that at a discount and freeze it, or you buy it at a discount and you can it or dry it, and then you save it for later. And so it comes out good for the farmer and it comes out good for the consumer. So you can be eating organic at conventional prices. And if I get paid what you're paying in the supermarket, I'm getting paid retail. Let me tell you, when a guy's selling milk over here, if he's getting $1.25 a gallon, he's doing great. So when I'm selling milk over here at $10 a gallon, or $8, in summertime, say I can sell that milk for about $6 a gallon and do pretty good on it. Because, see, then my cows are out on pasture and I'm not feeding them. If I don't have to buy feed for them, I'm just milking the cow and taking the milk out of her. So about 6 months of the year, we can sell milk for $6. And about 6 months of the year, we got to sell it for $10. Well, 6 and 10, let's say that's 16, that's an average of 8, that's half what the price range is from 6 to 5 or 6 to $16 a gallon for organic whole raw milk. Not bad. It's not the best, but it's not bad. Now, there's other foods out there that we can be growing. So Professor Whatley is the guy that started this back in the 1970s down at Tuskegee Institute. And so they got all these small landowners down in the South, you know, that have 25 acres, 10 acres. You know, it's 25 acres or less. They're guys that are making $100,000 a year on 3 acres, kids. 3 crummy acres making $100,000 a year. And what they're doing is growing raspberries. Now, Whatley discovered that people will drive 40 miles one way, 40 miles one way, if you carry 40 items in your store. So you got to have some kind of a store, but your store can be your garage. But you got to have some items. Now, you don't have to grow every item. For instance, you can have organic almonds from California in your store for your customers. You can have organic chicken. You don't have to grow the almonds and you don't have to grow the chicken. What you have to grow is that which you can grow. You know, up in North Dakota, you're going to have a hard time growing almonds. So, wouldn't you like to have organic almonds in your store for your customers in Bismarck, North Dakota? The answer is yeah. It's a hell of a good idea. Now, what you can grow there in Dakota in the summertime is a great variety. You can grow all of your garden vegetables there in the summertime. You know, squash will grow there. Cucumbers will grow there. More than likely, you'll even have some fruit trees. But you know, there's a lot of organic growers all over America. In fact, 12% of Americans buy organic. 12%. That translates into 36 million people. 36 million people, and there's nowhere near enough growers to supply those 36 million people. That's the rub. You don't have enough supply. I was on a radio talk show yesterday, and a guy called in. He says, "Where can I find a co-op? Where can I find this organic food?" You know, he lives out in Denver, Colorado, or somewhere in the, you know, on the front slope there. They call it the front range out there. So he's living out on the front, and I said, "My God, son, this is a major metropolitan area. This is Denver. You know, you got to have all kinds of co-ops and all kinds of organic growers that are supplying, you know, people in Denver, Colorado, you know, and Fort Collins, you know, and so on." So the moral to the story is, it's you got to find them. They're not out there everywhere. And if you're buying out of the health food store, I mean, you're paying an arm and a leg. So you need to get hooked up with. And so there's no shortage of customers, kids. No shortage of customers. And so we recommend our program here, and we teach you how to do this. You know, we recommend our program of just sell to 100. If you want 200, you can sell to 200. What you do is you take customers on by word of mouth. You know, you start advertising, and you say, hey, I've got organic produce over here, and we sign up by contract. And this contract keeps the government out of your business. Article 1, Section 10 of your Constitution prohibits government from impairing the obligation of your contract. That's why I'm not open to the public. My school is not open to the public. My farm isn't open to the public. I sell to private parties only, under contract, to keep the government the hell out of my business and out of your business. Now, that's where this 87,200% comes in. I said, you know, the most profitable business ever created by the mind of God is agriculture. That's where you put in one seed in the ground and take 872 back. That's an 87,200% return, kids. That's a 87,000%. You got to be a farmer to go to the banker over here. I mean, you got to be a farmer dealing with a Jew in order to get screwed out of all of your profits. You got to get into commercial agriculture and do business with ADM and Cargill for crying out loud to screw up a deal like this. All right, so no better business than food in a famine, and famine is coming, and I showed you that last time from Bible prophecy. Deuteronomy 28 says it's going to get so bad in Anglo-Saxon countries that we will be eating our own children and secretly hiding their flesh from our wives and husbands. Sounds pretty gory. Sounds pretty gruesome. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. It's not my idea. But I'm not going to advance it, and I'm not going to prevent it, but I'm going to profit from it. Yeah, that's right. I intend to profit off of it. Why? Well, because I need to feed myself. I got to take care of me first. And while I'm at it, I might as well grow a little extra, because you're not going to have it. And so I told you the Nick Mingelin story here a couple of days ago, over in World War II in Holland, how those people were walking 40 kilometers from downtown Amsterdam out to Nick's uncle, who he was taking grandfather's clocks and tapestries and rugs and carpets and gold and silver and diamond rings and gold and silver and money and anything he could get his hands on, or anything these people could get their hands on to trade, for cabbages and potatoes, for crying out loud. And that's coming to a city near you. And when that happens, you know, then there's profit to be made. Now, right now, farmers are doing pretty good. I was talking to a guy the other day. He's in the cattle business out in Nevada. He got paid 16 cents a pound more for his organic beef than he had anticipated. And that tells you a little something there about organic. People want organic, and they don't know where to get it. And so what we need is a marketing program. And so the thing that sets us apart from the Whatley program is that we practice a marketing program that is confined to the scriptural 16 economic laws and to the 15 agricultural laws of the Bible. The Whatley program is a commercial program, and it's very, very successful. It's just not as successful as private business. And you got to pay your income tax. I mean, if you want to do the Whatley program, a lot of times people say, well, I'll just go to the internet and get on the Whatley program, and it's cheaper. Yeah, that's right. It is. It's cheaper. And then you got to pay your income tax, and you got to have your government regulation, and you got to have your national ID for your livestock. You know, if you want the government to stay out of your business, you know, you got to stay out of government's reach. That's what the bottom line is. You know, if you want to get into government's reach, you get in bed with them. That's what American agriculture has done. They got in bed with the government and found out that the government is a bed hog, and they take most of it. Hell, I ain't interested in sharing a quarter with the government or anybody else. I want the whole thing for myself. Shows you what kind of a pig I am. All right, we're at the halfway point here, kids. I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week, and it has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the law or an editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let me give you some dates here. Our subsistence and survival school will be February 25th and March 7th of 2008. This is a 2-week version of this class, combining both the classroom teaching and hands-on application of the lessons. It's a special offer which we're making to you wishing to work on the farm to help pay for the class. So if you want to help work off your class tuition, won't do all of it, but it'll do half of it. Just call Jackie at our phone number here. It's 417-273-4967. Now, the $100,000 class on 25 acres is on April the 14th to the 25th. Note, this is a 2-week version of this same class, combining both classroom teaching and hands-on application of the lessons. It's a special offer which we're making for individuals. If you wish to work here on the farm, help pay for the class. You can call Jackie at, again, that number is 417-273-4967. So we're going to offer these two classes, subsistence and survival, and $100,000 increase on 25 acres or less, and a 2-week version. They're normally 1-week classes. We just take your money, run you through the class, and send you home. Oftentimes, people who come from the city, they don't know what the hell to do with the seed or which end to put in the ground. So, as a result of that, I said, well, okay, why don't we take a little extra time, effort, and energy. I'll use your labor here. You help me with my raised beds, help me put some fence posts in the ground, do something intelligent and constructive over here instead of running around the park trying to burn off calories. Come out here, I'll put you on the end of an idiot stick and show you how to burn up some real calories. And at the same time, you can learn how to work. Most people don't know how to work anyway. They sit on their hind end punching computer keys all their lives, and when it comes down to actually doing a day's work over here, it's a real shock to them that sweat comes out of the pores of their skins that they're trying to plug up, you know, with arid extra dry. Sweat's good for you, and it'll clean out your pores, and it'll clean out all that arid extra dry, and actually get your body to working again. The moral of the story here is that there's money to be made, but there's a god-awful hard lesson to be learned in the process. Now, we're watching the Argentinian people. They went through this in 2001. They're coming out of their depression, their recession, their monetary collapse. The people in Rhodesia, they're not coming out of it. The Japanese are going into it. We Americans are going into it. And it's going to last for a while. And while we're at it, we might as well make some money. Number one, you got to take care of yourself and your family. You need a 4-year food supply going in. And you need a means by which you can produce. Well, shucks, you know, as long as you're producing for yourself, it doesn't take anything more. You know, while you're out there sticking six seeds in the ground, you might as well put in 12 for the family next door. Then you might as well put in 24 seeds for two more families down the street. Or, you know, put in 48 seeds, and pretty soon, you know, you got enough in here. It doesn't take that much more to plant enough for 100 families. And all of a sudden, when you're planting for 100 families, you know, if you'd made just $1,000 a year. Now, remember, you're over in England, you people are going to go up in price. I mean, you people are going to pay $1,500 in 2008, more than you paid in 2007, just buying food out of the grocery store. Well, you know, if I could just get $1,000, I don't need the whole $75 or $8,500 from you. Hell, go spend that in the grocery store. Just give me that $1,000 that you're going to spend extra. You and 100 people like you, and I'll make $100,000 a year. That's double the median average income here in the United States. You know, if you're a mechanic and you're working for Mr. Goodrich down here, you're making $50,000 a year, which is the median average. Hell, you can make twice that much working for yourself in private business, growing for other people. And there's a market out there that can't be quenched. Not only is there 12% of us that are into organic foods right now, 50% of people in the United States during the year 2007 bought food from an organic grower or somebody who's selling along the roadside. Half the people of America are buying private. 12% eat organic. 12% are religious nuts like me. And we won't eat out of the grocery store. If I go to the grocery store, which I do rarely, I walk in, I walk down the aisles, I gag, I get stopped up, my eyes run. As I'm looking at the prices of the trash and I read the labels of the garbage that's in it, you know, like sodium nitrate, MSG, natural flavorings, sodium nitrite. My God, the poisons that are put in your food over there, it's no wonder you people can survive to be 38 or 40 years old so that you're old enough to die from breast cancer. I'm amazed that you can live long enough to die from breast cancer. You should have died long before that from poisoning. And they're talking about putting in more, not less, more. In fact, now I notice that the big companies are getting involved in organics, and they came to our legislature the other day and they said, we'd like you to pass a law for us that says that we can put in 5% non-organic into our organic produce products. You got that? So here comes Kraft, General Mills, Pillsbury, and they buy out some organic company. Then after they've bought out the organic company, you see, now they're in the organic business, and now they can label their products organic, too, you see. Now, they've got some organic standards that came out of government, and so the organic standard says, well, it's got to be organic. And so, well, they say, well, we're producing this organic stuff on the same machine that we run our inorganic on, so what if it has 1% inorganic in it? So the legislature said, well, okay, we'll let you go with 1%. So then they came back and said, well, how about 5%? So the legislature says, okay, we'll let you put in 5%. Well, hell, the next round is going to be 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50. Well, then pretty soon it ain't organic, is it? In fact, boys and girls, when organic is 99% organic and 1% poison, it's no longer organic. And if you'll take a look at rat poison, it's 99.5% inert ingredients. It's only one half of 1% poison. It's that one half of 1% that makes the whole product inedible. Makes the whole product poison. So from my point of view, you know, I have cows. And my cows, I don't feed them any bypass protein. I don't feed them any GMOs. We don't give them any shots. No vaccines, no vaccinations. My cows are clean. I sell clean cows. I get a premium price for selling clean cows. The minute that I shoot my cows up, you know, with vaccines, they're not clean anymore. Oh, it's true. I don't give them bypass proteins, but they've been vaccinated. They're not clean anymore. They're either clean or they're not. One or the other. And that's why I'm very careful about keeping my cows in on my side. My neighbors around me over here feed bypass protein out in their ranges. Hell, I won't even eat the deer around here anymore now because the deer eat out of their bypass protein. Hell, they all got mad cow disease. Now, in this country, we don't call it mad cow disease. We call it Downer cow syndrome. That's for you English people over there. You people are behind the times. You know, you got mad cow disease over there. We don't have it here in America. We're not going to allow mad cow disease to come over here from England. Why, we've got Downer cow syndrome over here. By God, we don't have mad cow disease. What are the symptoms? Same. But we changed the name. My God, we're not going to have mad cows over here. And then we do another little trick over here. We kill all of our beef over here at 30 months because mad cow disease doesn't show up until they're about 5 or 6 years old. By killing them at 36 months, see, they never get old enough to die from mad cow disease. Does that mean that they don't have it? No. It just means that there's no symptoms displayed. As long as there's no symptoms, we don't admit that we've got mad cow disease, which we wouldn't admit anyway because we got Downer cow syndrome. Americans can't connect the dots. Never have, never will. And I'm not out here to save all the fools from their folly. Now, I mentioned to you that there's 15 agricultural laws. Laws like the Land Sabbath and the Year of Jubilee, the Gleaning Law, cattle interbreeding, hybrid seeds, and this GMO thing over here. Did you know that this GMO and hybridization of seeds violates Leviticus 19:19? And agribusiness farmers out here have been violating that law for years and years and years. And they pay the price. And that's why the government's involved in their farming operations. That's why the cattlemen all have to have their cattle implanted, you know, with these chips so the government can keep track of them. Because we got Downer cow syndrome here, and we got to protect the American public from the diseases that we're causing by our agricultural practices. So we create this problem, then we got to solve it. Well, now, these laws over here, these 15 agricultural laws, I don't know of anybody that's teaching these 15 agricultural laws, and I contend that you need to know what they are. And that's what we teach here in our $100,000 on 25-acre program and the marketing program. See, this marketing is very important. I know what value is growing this stuff if you can't sell it. So we signed a contract with a customer, and we said, well, what is it do you want to buy, sir? Well, I don't know. Well, let's start off here with chicken. Do you eat chicken? Oh, yeah, we eat chicken. Well, how many chickens do you eat? we buy a chicken every week. Okay. Well, that's 52 chickens a year. If you buy one chicken a week, that's 52 chickens a year. So why don't we put you down for 52 chickens? And the guy's amazed. Well, I didn't know I ate 52 chickens a year. Yes, rebob, sir. If you eat one chicken a week, there's 52 weeks in a year. That's 52 chickens a year. Now, as a producer over here, if I've got 100 customers and they're all eating a chicken a week, that's 52 chickens times 100 people. That's 5,200 chickens a year. So that means that little Georgie Gordon over here, as a producer of chicken, has to produce 5,200 chickens a year. So I have to provide for my 100 customers 5,200 chickens. Well, I can't just raise 5,200 chickens because some of them die. So I got to order 6,000 chickens. See, 6,000. And then just to make sure that I got a little left over, you know, I might order 7,000 chicks. Now, do we want all 7,000 chickens delivered on March 10th? No, because chickens develop over about 90 to 120 days. And so we want these 3 to 4 months. So we want these chickens delivered in March, and then maybe in June, and then maybe in September. and then maybe in December again. See, we have to have these chickens delivered to us over time. Now, maybe in your particular location, you've only got 9 acres, and maybe you don't have room for chickens. So you might want to go out and do this little trick. We had an organic lady over in Kentucky, and her parents died, and she inherited 320 acres. And she had 100 beef cows. So this is my Kentucky beef grower. And so she's got these 100 cows. Well, the 100 cows produce 100 calves, and 100 calves sell for $500 a piece, and so that's $50,000. You know, it's a living, but it's nothing to brag about. So this lady starts butchering this beef and selling it at retail, and instead of selling the calves, she raises the calves up and feeds them out there on her own little feedlot on her 320 acres, and then she feeds them out and butchers them and gets a retail price on them. Pretty soon she's making a couple $100,000 a year. Well, her organic beef is selling so well that pretty soon she hasn't got enough of it. So then she goes over and contracts with the neighbor and says, I want you to grow organic beef, and here's the way I want you to grow it, and I'll pay you 16 cents a pound more for it. So she pays a premium to the guy down the street to grow organic beef, which she in turn sells at retail. And so it's good business for the farmer down the street, and she's getting the same organic beef that she's grown. But now she's finishing it in her own feedlot, and she's feeding it out with organic feeds so that she can deliver organic beef to her customers, and she's selling this organic beef at a premium. She's getting the retail price instead of the producer price or the wholesale or the jobber price. She's getting the retail price, which is the same price that you're paying down at Kroger's, except that you're getting it at organic instead of the health food price. You're getting it at the regular retail price. Can you see the difference? So you're saving about half. Boys and girls, you're living better agriculturally. So you don't have to grow everything that you're selling, but you need to sell about 40 products in your product line. And people will drive 40 miles for it. That's what Professor Watley discovered. That's 80 miles round trip. But you got to have about 40 things in your store. People don't want to come out and just buy raspberries. They don't want to drive 40 miles one way to pick raspberries or to buy raspberries and then go back home. While they're there, they want to buy organic beef, organic chicken, they want to buy eggs, they want to buy cheese, they want to buy this, that, another thing, maybe almonds and apricots and one thing and another. Listen, did you know that you can get these organic products from other sources? That's right. For instance, here locally, we can buy chicken. We got a guy that just grows organic chicken. I call him up and I say, listen, next year my customers have to have 5,200 chickens. And so he says, oh, God, that's really great, Mr. Gordon. I'll give you a 10% discount if you'll take 5,000 chickens a year. So I contract with him to buy 5,000 chickens a year, and I contract with you to sell you 52 chickens a year. See how simple that is? All right. And so now let's suppose that you come to me and you say, hey, listen, instead of a chicken a week, we want to buy 2 chickens a week. And I say, oh, my God, but you only ordered 52. So I said, that's no big deal. So I get on the horn and I tell my supplier over here, I say, now listen, my customers, they like your chicken so well that they want to buy more chicken. Now see, I don't double the price on the chicken. I put a 10% service charge in there. I make 10% off of the chicken this other guy is raising. He gave me a 10% discount, remember? So I make that 10% over there for handling the chicken for you. I don't have to grow it or deal with it or do jack diddly squat. I just order it, comes in the store, you pick it up. Now, you got to pick up more than one chicken. Now, here's the little trick here. You can't have your customers coming in here and shopping like they do at Safeway, where they're kind of strolling around through the aisles and looking at one can, and they look at a third can. Pretty soon they take one can. When you're buying chickens, you know you got to buy 20 chickens at a time. So you don't come in here and buy one chicken every week. You come in here and you buy 20 chickens, because once these chickens reach maturity, they're at maturity. All 20 of them are at maturity at the same time. Hey, I ain't growing one chicken to reach maturity every week. You know, let's be intelligent people. So you got to have a freezer at home, Joe, so that when you come in and pick up your chicken, you're picking up 20 chickens. And then next time you pick up 20 chickens, next time you pick up 20 chickens. You know, you do that three times a year. It could be 15 chickens, it could be 10 chickens, but you know, when you pick up your chickens, you pick up all of them for this growing cycle. And your customers have to be attuned to that. And so we buy in bulk. We're not dinking around here at retail buying one can of this. We're buying cases of it. Cases. You know, when I go in and buy something, I don't buy a can. I buy a case. Typically, I buy 10 cases at a time. Now, here's another little trick for you to learn. Let's suppose we want to handle Muir Glen organic canned foods. Well, that's a hell of a good item to have in your product line. And you don't have to have a canning operation. There's other companies that produce canned tomatoes and canned soups that are all organic. And then you can have those in your store also. So what we're going to do is we're going to train you how to grow, how to plant, how to produce organic products, and how to buy them and how to market them. And how to make $100, $200, $300, I don't know. How much money do you want to make? How hard do you want to work? See, when you're working for wages, you're kind of stuck. You're kind of stuck at 40 hours a week, because government says that's all you can work is 40 hours a week. And over that, your boss has to pay you time and a half. Can you produce 50% more in those time and a half hours? Have you ever thought about your boss having to pay you 50% more? Can you produce 50% more? I don't think the average worker thinks about producing 50% more for 50% more pay. But out here in the real world, where we have to deal with real numbers, you know, if we're going to get more, we have to produce more. So if you want to produce $200,000 a year, you got to work twice as hard. Do you want to work twice as hard and make twice as much? I don't know. Most Americans don't. They're too damn lazy. But, you know, there's a certain level. You know, maybe you don't want to make $100,000 a year. Maybe $50,000 is okay for you. But making $100,000 a year, $1,000 a customer off of 100 customers that you have under contract isn't any big deal. No big deal at all. That's easy to do. 200 customers, 200,000, that's trickier, harder. You're going to have your wife help you, maybe a couple kids. But hey, you don't have to grow everything yourself. You have to grow some of it. And you have to make sure that it's organic. Now, I was talking to a lady the other day, and they're selling to, I think it's Wild Oats. And they're selling, it's a Mexican restaurant, it's what it is, and they make their own chili con queso. And in the chili con queso over here, they were putting in MSG, and this lady said, well, you can't put MSG into organic, and this guy said, it's what the recipe calls for. Ah, hell, they'll never know. Oh, I got news for you. I got news for you. Wild Oats, you know, every once in a while, they take chemical samples from everything they buy and send it off to a laboratory. It's just a matter of time until they find MSG in the chili con queso, and they'll never buy from that guy again. Yeah, that's true. There may be some cheaters out there that are putting some crap into your food, but it won't last long. The last thing you want to do is to screw over your customers, because, you know, if your customers ever find out, you know, it just takes one customer to find out that you're stiffing them, and the word spreads pretty rapidly, especially in a small community where I'm at. So, I mean, you got to be honest. And if you're not honest, I mean, you don't want to get into this business. You want to get into agribusiness. If you're a crook, if you're dishonest and a thief, you need to get in with ADM, the Department of Agriculture, the United States Government, Food and Drug Administration, Merck and Pfizer. Those are the outfits for you. And then go down to your local banker, you know, to throw in a little extra mafiosa. If you want to be honest and deal with the Ten Commandments, and you want to deal, you know, with thou shalt not steal, your word is your bond, then I can't think of a better business than agriculture. Not agribusiness. That's what American farmers are practicing. Agribusiness with ADM and the Department of Agriculture. Let's get out of agribusiness and let's get into agriculture. I had a farmer come in here one time, and he was growing wheat up in North Dakota. A big operation. He had 15 sections. Now, boys and girls, 15 sections. That's a fur piece. Let me do the arithmetic for you on my famous Sharp EL1197G. 15, 640 acres in a section. 640 times 15 sections is 9,600 acres. 9,600 acres. Now, you know, if you're a beef operator and you got 9,000 acres out in Nevada and your cows are just roaming around, you know, chomping on sagebrush, that's not a dilemma. 9,600 acres in North Dakota, that means that guy farms the whole thing. I mean, he's got a tractor that drives over every square foot of 9,600 acres, churns it up, and then he's got to drive over it again and seed it. Boggled my mind. And he's doing about $3.5 million a year in sales, but he's losing $100,000 a year. He's losing $100,000 a year farming 9,600 acres and making $3 million a year and selling his wheat to ADM and blah, blah, blah. And he said, "Hey, Mr. Gordon, what am I going to do to solve that problem?" Hell, I didn't take a long time for me to figure it out. I said, "Retire." He said, "What?" I said, "Retire. Close your operation down. Stop. Don't go any further." And he looked like me like I was stupid. He said, "Well, I can't do that." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, you know, I've been farming here all these years, and my dad farmed before me, and all these people been farming and growing wheat up here for all these years, and I wouldn't know what else to do." I said, "Well, okay." He went back home. He said, he went back home. He kept on farming for about another 5 years until he consumed all of the equity out of his operation, and the bank helped him retire. They foreclosed on him, put him out of business. Hell, he didn't have to farm for another 5 years and throw another $500,000 away. Hell, he could have sold everything that he had before the foreclosure, put the money in his pocket, and went out and did something more intelligent. You know, like grow rutabagas or strawberries on an organic farm over here and make $100,000 a year instead of losing $100,000 a year. And this is a guy that's making $3-4 million a year in sales. Boys and girls, that's agribusiness. Agribusiness doesn't make money for farmers. It makes money for ADM and your bank. That's what theirs are designed for. Makes money for the government through taxes. Makes money for importers and exporters. Makes money for banks, insurance companies, and all the people that you're paying. Farmer, hey, Bob, you know, you're out here supporting all of these parasites. Insurance agents, bankers, government bureaucrats. Hell, those are all parasites. You need those people in your farming operation like you need three thumbs on your left hand. When we get into agriculture, we start dealing with property. We start dealing with gold and silver. We deal with contracts. We deal with retail consumers, and we get paid retail, and we don't sell $3 million a year. We only sell $150,000 or $200,000, but we net $100,000 a year. And we're not farming 9,600 acres, we're only farming 25 acres. And we don't have lots of big John Deere tractors and new four-wheel drive dually pickups. Yeah, I'm running out of time here, kids. We're going to have to quit right there. Give us a call if you're interested in our subsistence and survival program or how to make $100,000 on 25 acres. Give us a call and we'll tell you more. Hey, meanwhile, I got to remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and heard worldwide over the Internet every day. If you'd like more information, then why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. And while you're at it, ask for that free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about our law school. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.